Good morning. What a wonderful day to worship Jehovah God. Remember, of course, that is why we are here. We're here to give Him everything that He deserves, and He deserves everything, so we give Him our very lives. In fact, we have been saying all this year, live for Christ. That's us giving Him our lives. It says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that our lives are to be transformed, that we're to give our lives, our very bodies, everything we have, as a living sacrifice. And that's what we're trying to do here this morning. That's what we do when we leave these four walls, more than four walls. That's what we do throughout the week. We try to give Him our very life, our very essence, our very being, give Him everything that He deserves because He is worth it. And we've talked about why we do that, of course, why we do decide to give our lives to Jesus, because He is the one that deserves it. He's the only one who has lived for us. He's the only one who died for us in the way He did. He's the only one who went to the tomb the way He did. He's the only one who came out of the tomb the way He did. He's the only one who ascended to the Father, and there He lives to make intercession on our behalf, preparing a place for us, according to John chapter 14 and verse 6 and other passages. So we see He's the only one that deserves it. But we've also talked about beyond why we ought to, why the Christian does live for beyond why we do that, we've talked about how we do that. And part of that is worship that we've said for the past few weeks. And this lesson goes along with that in some ways, because we said part of our worship is preparing for worship, that we think about it in advance. Before we get here, we prepare for our worship. We prepare for experiencing God. We prepare for approaching the throne boldly. But we want to go beyond that just a little bit more today, if you'll listen to me for just a few minutes. Please listen. Next Sunday is our, as we phrase it and as we call it, our big day. We've called it this year our Back to Bible School Sunday, the BTBSS. So we want you to participate in that. We want you to be here for that, and we want to promote it in as many ways as we possibly can. In previous years, and this is my fifth year being here, in December I'll have been here five full years. Thank you so much for bearing with me all that time and helping my family to grow, and hopefully I've given back to you a little bit as well. But in those 5 years, we've had four or five big days. And every year and every time that we've had one of these big days, the one or two that we have every year, we've promoted it for months previous to that big day, but we've not done that this year. And I thought about it a little bit this week and thought about what we're going to do and how it's going to happen. And one of the reasons that we promoted it big time is it's been on my mind. One of the reasons that we haven't done it as much this time is because it was changed a little bit the time that we were going to do it, and also because where I took a step back, John took a step in and made some choices and some changes and started working with you, and I think he's made some really good choices along with our deacons and our elders and many of you. I think it's going to be a great day, but we want to promote it. This is one of the days that we set aside each year to make a special effort on behalf of our guests and members that are out of the habit of attending. Well, we want to encourage them. Maybe you have someone in mind that you're thinking about that is a member here, that is a New Testament Christian, but hasn't been attending for some time. This would be a perfect opportunity to reach out to them. And this is what this day is designed to do. Not only that, but it's to reach out to our neighbors and our friends and our coworkers and all those around us. This is one of the days that we have a big production when it comes to the lunch following our worship. We're going to smell the grilled hot dogs or hamburgers, whatever it is we're having, I forget now. But we're going to smell that as we're going to exit the auditorium out into the foyer and exit the foyer. We're going to smell those things. And we've asked many of you to bring food, and we're going to talk more about that here in just one moment. This is one of the days that we use to showcase what the Lord is doing here and with this group of Christians. This is what we're doing. We have a whole lot of purposes behind this big invite day, and we want you to get behind it as much as possible. So there are many benefits to these big invite days, and that's why we have them at least once or twice a year, because there are so many benefits to it. So in addition to our effort of glorifying God this morning, and remember we said just a moment ago, please listen to me, in addition to our glorifying God, we said that we're here to glorify Him, we're here to worship Him, we're here to approach the throne boldly. In addition to that, we want to, this week and next week, we want to tell people, communicate to people, to you, to our guests, to our members, to everyone, we want to communicate that we value our education program. Oh, we value those individuals who are a part of it, who donate hours and hours and hours every quarter to be a part of it. We appreciate those individuals who participate in it, and we think that it's worth your time. That's what we're communicating with this day and with next Sunday as well. So what we're doing more than anything today, listen to me just for a few more minutes, what we're doing today is preparing ourselves for next week. This is the 23rd, that is the 30th, and what do we have to do between this time and that time over there to make that time over there as amazing as possible, as God-glorifying as possible, as encouraging to us? We want to prepare for it. Let me tell you something, church. Preparation is a biblical theme. It says that Noah prepared an ark. If he didn't prepare that ark, what would he have done when the rains came tumbling down? He would have drowned just like everyone else. What about David preparing the materials for Solomon to build a temple? He couldn't build a temple. David couldn't. He wasn't allowed by the Lord to do so. So he prepared all of the materials for his son Solomon to build the temple. He prepared. John prepared the way for Jesus. I'm the one who's calling out in the wilderness. I'm this voice preparing the way of the Lord. Preparation is something that is essential. I'm a Boy Scout, or was, and the Boy Scout motto is be prepared. It's something that is essential to Christianity as well. That's what we're doing for next Sunday. We're preparing for it. And we also see, as we mentioned already, that Jesus is preparing a place for us. So preparation is something that's very, very important. So what I want you to do is to listen very closely this morning as we discuss some values that most all of us share, and then we want to lead from that to how every one of us can make next week's big day a success. Are you listening to me? First, the values. Why are we having this big day? What's so important? What is the purpose behind it? And then what can you do to make it a success? This is very important. This is the path that's being shaped for you, and we expect of our members here. We expect every one of our members here to do at least one of the six things that we're going to mention at the very end. Perhaps more. Perhaps all six. At least one of the six things that we mentioned today, we want every one of you in this room, everyone who is not in this room, everyone who is hearing this recording, if you're listening to it online now, everyone who is listening or thinking about these things, what we want you to do. This is the roadmap for you. But for our non-Christians, for those of you who are here today who aren't a Christian or aren't an attending member who's out of duty, I want you to see what you're missing. I want you to see what you're missing by not being part of our education program, by not being part of this church. You can be a part of the church, you can be part of the Christian family, but not be a part of this Christian family. And if you're a baptized believer, you're part of the family of God, but you're not part of this family unless you attend, unless you work with us, unless you help us, unless you go along with some of these things and support the elders and be a part of this body. We want you to see, if you are a non-member here, if you are an out-of-duty member, what you're missing. You're missing so much. Amen, church? Isn't it a wonderful thing to be part of this family? I love being part of this family. If I didn't have this family here in this part of the world, I would be lost. I don't know what. It's an amazing benefit, an amazing blessing to be part of this. And if you're not part of it, it's not because the family here stinks. It's because you're not making yourself a part of the family, you see? And I want you who are non-attenders, I want you who are non-members, I want you who are out of duty to realize what you're missing out. And I want you to see how much we care for you. I want you who are non-Christians to see how much we love you and how much we want you to be saved if you're not. I want you to see how much we want you to experience the blessings of God only available through a family of God. So that being the case, since I've outlined what we're going to do, let's just get to it. First, I want you to notice a couple of truths that are central to who we are and what we are doing. Who are we? What do we do? What do we believe? Well, we believe a couple of things. We believe, number one, that worship and Bible study are very powerful. We love our worship here. We love studying the Bible here. If you've been here at one of our Bible studies in the auditorium, you have individuals that are commenting here and there, hither, thither, and yon. Some individuals saying different things. Some individuals agreeing fervently. Some individuals that are just with their nose and their eyes in their Bibles just thinking about these things. And why is that? It's because we value our Bible study. If you're here and you're here, one of our big days, you notice that we're singing as loud as possible. We're singing with the spirit and we're singing with the understanding. We're doing everything we can. We're nodding whenever people are preaching. We're saying amen. We're saying hallelujah. This is what we do. This is who we are because we value worship, because we value Bible study. Worship is where we meet up with God. And if it's done properly, it will make a difference in your life. If you worship with the Spirit and in the truth and the true Spirit, it's going to make a difference in what you do when you leave this place. There's a song about a stirring, and there's a spirit here in this place, and we're going to leave this place a little different. We're going to be changed because of what we've experienced here. I believe that. If you really experience God, if you really worship Him in the true Spirit, it's going to change who you are. Corporately, it's our weekly appointment with God. God is here, and He's agreed to meet with us here when we come here. When we come privately to worship God, into our closets where no one knows about it, no one sees it, we can have additional appointments. Lord, I'm just really struggling this week, and I need another appointment. Have you ever heard of that? Someone who calls their counselor and says, I need an emergency appointment right now. Well, that's what you do whenever you call on God in prayer through the week. Well, whenever you worship Him, when you sing to Him, when you do all of these things, it's an emergency appointment with God. God, I need you so much. God, I can't do this without you. And that's what we do when we worship, and that's why we are having this Sunday, so we can experience this worship together. We value this worship time. Worship is where we can experience God. It's more than a feeling, but you can feel Him. Worship is where we tell God how amazing He is, where we remind ourselves how amazing God is. We said last week that in our prayer, sometimes you might want to follow the ACTS pattern, the adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. That begins with adoration, saying, God, you are amazing. How great thou art, Elvis sang, and we sing better. You see? How great you are. That's what we're saying to God. We're reminding ourselves about that, and that's what we're doing to at that moment. We're telling God how amazing He is. When it's where we can be encouraged by others who believe similarly, who have like precious faith according to the New Testament. According to the New Testament, we sing to one another, you see? Not only are we singing to God, worshiping Him, but we're singing to one another. We're encouraging one another. Let me say something, and I've said this a few times because I think it's a really interesting book, and we read it a couple of months ago in the book club about introverts in the church. If you are an introvert, that is okay. I think sometimes in the churches of Christ and outside the churches of Christ, individuals have given the impression that if you're an introvert in the church, that you're doing something wrong. You can be an introvert and still serve God. You can be an introvert in the church. But even introverts, and here I want you to hear me, introverts, even introverts need some time together. This is something very important. Elijah, whenever he was alone, wanted to be killed by God. He says, just kill me. I'm the only one. I feel like I'm alone. He got depressed whenever he felt alone. What about Moses? Whenever he was alone there on the mountain just with God, before he got there with God, he was making all sorts of excuses. I'm slow of speech. I can't do it. Who will I say sent me? All of these things. And then finally he said, Lord, please send someone else whenever he felt alone. Oh, what about Eve? Eve, whenever she was alone, she succumbed to temptation. You see? So over and over again, we see the value of being together, and that's what we're doing when we worship corporately together, having that togetherness with each other and with God. But not only worship, Bible study. We're saying, listen to me, church, the value that we hold dear here is that we value worship. We think it's powerful, but not only worship, but Bible study as well, individually and collectively, together and apart. We value this. Bible study is our chance to hear God. Whenever we're worshiping, we are talking to God. God, we're giving you our heart. God, we're saying these things to you. And you can hear God through the Word and through these other means during worship. But Bible study is your chance to open up the Word of God. Some individuals don't think it applies, but I think 1 Corinthians 2 and verses 9 and 10 talk directly to the idea of hearing God. It says there, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love Him. But these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. He's revealed them to us. He's told us these things. He's communicated these things to us. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. And what Paul goes on to say there, Paul and the other writers, if there were multiple writers there, what he says there is that we are recording these things. We're giving these things to you. Do you see what's going on here? They communicated them, or God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit communicated them to Paul. Paul wrote them down to communicate them to us. Paul's words carry the weight and authority of God's words there because they are God's words. God is communicating to us in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Peter, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1, 2, 3 John, Jude, Revelation, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. All of these books and others, he's communicating directly to us. Bible study is where we hear him. That's why we value it. Are you hearing me? We value it. It's valuable and it's powerful. It changes us. And it's our chance in Bible study to look in a mirror. Imagine for a moment, if you will, with your mind's eye, there is a mirror here. And I'm looking at this mirror and I'm seeing how amazing I look, but then I see there's a hair out of place. I see there's a smudge on my jacket right there. I have a couple of options. I can look at this mirror and I can forget those things as I walk away, or I can look in this mirror and I can try to correct the smudge. The few minor flaws that I see in my reflection, I can correct those things. You see? Whenever you study the Bible, you are seeing your reflection, who you are. And that's what it says over in James 1, 21 and following. It says, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, the word of God, the word that we study, which is able to save your souls, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For verse 23, listen, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like that man who looks intently at the mirror at himself, and then he goes away and he forgets what he was like. Instead of changing those things, Bible study allows us to look in that mirror, and then we have to have the courage and conviction, and we've got to make the decision to change ourselves. We value Bible study here. All of these things are what we're talking about preparing for next week. This is why we're having the big day. This is why we're telling our friends and our family about it. This is why we're inviting our out-of-duty members here, because we value worship. It changes you. It's powerful. We value Bible study. It's powerful. It changes you. It makes you a different individual, an individual that is after God's own heart like David was. It's our chance to be assured and encouraged by the Creator of the universe. Many calls to action from God begin with that worship experience. We've talked about that. The Great Commission, what we call the Great Commission. There in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah says, here am I, send me, it's preceded by a worship experience. Whenever he sees the Father, whenever he sees the seraphim and the cherubim, and he sees that robe in the heavens, you see, and it filled all of heavens. Changed lives have begun with Bible study. What about the Ethiopian eunuch? The Ethiopian eunuch is sitting there reading Isaiah, and then here comes Philip along and says, do you understand what you're reading? And Philip says, or Ethiopian eunuch says, how can I unless someone explain it to me? He's studying the Bible, and he's doing that by himself, but he says it's also valuable to do it with others, you see. How can I understand unless someone explains it to me? And then beginning at that scripture, Philip explained to him and told him and proclaimed to him Jesus Christ. And then after he proclaimed to him Jesus Christ, he sees water and he goes down into that water. He's baptized and he goes away. Do you remember how he goes away, church? Rejoicing joyfully, you see. What started that? Bible study. It can change you. If we give God power to change us through worship and Bible study, listen to me, and this is a promise you can count on. If we give God the power to do so, he will. God respects our boundaries. He's never going to force you to do anything. He won't force you to obey him. He won't force you to disobey him. He won't force you to do anything. God respects those boundaries. So if we allow him to change our lives, if we allow him into our lives, he's going to change us into who we need to be. That's what we value here. That's who we are here. Worship and Bible study is something that's powerful. But not only that, our value and something that we hold dear here at the Turtle Rock Church of Christ for both members and guests, I want you to hear this, is that we believe that others, those who aren't here, would gain from this as well. We believe that worship is powerful and others would gain from this worship. We believe that Bible study is powerful, and not only the people who are here, but people who aren't here would gain from that Bible study. We believe it. Jesus said, are you going to leave as well? In John chapter 6, when other people came to him, and Peter said, one of those times that Peter said the right thing, he said, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life. God has the words of eternal life, and he's given them to us through his word. That's why we study his word, and we approach his throne boldly through worship. That's why we worship him, and we think others would benefit from these times and worship and Bible study as well. You see, there are a lot of people who have broken lives. Do you believe that? Do you think that your neighbors are messed up? Do you think that you're messed up sometimes? Do you think that most anybody that you meet has some problems in their life? So you can say without any slight at all that your neighbors are messed up, that your coworkers are messed up, that your husband or wife or children or mom or dad or aunt or uncle or third cousin Bob is messed up. You can say these things. You can say that they're messed up because we have broken lives. People have relationship problems. People have financial problems. People have health problems. People have addiction problems. We found out about it even this week. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the news at all, but we see the individuals who sometimes seem like they have everything together. Perhaps you might think of me or Stan or Cliff or Bill or Sam or whomever else. People who seem like they have everything together can sometimes not. Individuals who seem like they're very holy can sometimes not be very holy. That's why we don't put our faith in individuals like me or Stan or Sam or Cliff or Bill or anyone else. We put our faith in God. He says, unless you believe that I, Jesus says, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Not that the preacher or the elders or the Bible school teachers am he. You see, you've got to believe that Jesus is him. That's why we put our faith in him, because we don't know what someone's doing behind closed doors, and we probably need to realize that people behind closed doors are sometimes messed up. That's why we check what the preacher says and the elders say and anyone else. So here's what I'm saying in all this, that people have addictive problems. People have health problems. People are messed up. They have all of these things. These are the people that Jesus ran into, and it wasn't only the case in the first century in Palestine that people were messed up. It's true today as well. And people will benefit from worship and Bible study. It will change them. Whatever they worship now, whatever they give their lives to now, it is not as good as the creator of the universe. Whatever they give their lives to, this is your chance, church. Say amen if you want to. Whatever they give their lives to now, it is not as good as the creator of the universe. It's not, is it? He created us. With the power of his right hand, he said, let there be light, in just a few words, and there's light. He said, let there be a firmament, but to divide the two, and it happened. I don't know anybody with that kind of powerful power. I say to the car, start. If it's messed up, if it don't start, if it's not working, it won't start. It won't do it for me. Now, there might be some of you who have the ability here to get under the hood and work on it, but even that isn't with a word. You've got to get a wrench out. You've got to get some grease on your hands, you see? But God did it with his power, you see? And we need to worship him. Whatever they're worshiping is not as good. Here, let me ask you a question. Pause for one moment before we get to the path. Please listen and think about the answer to this question. Do you see that there is a need? Do you see that there's people who are broken? Do you see that there's a better way? The people around you need Jesus. They need worship. They need Bible study. Our members who don't participate, it would behoove them to do so, you see? Our friends, our family, our neighbors, our coworkers, complete strangers who do not regularly worship God or study the Bible would benefit from those things. Now, here's the second question. Do you see the potential? Just look around. The pew that my family sits on, there's six of us on that pew when I'm sitting there. And if we take up that whole pew, because we can, got in the seat, you know, got our backpacks over here for the kids, and we've got plenty of space over here so I don't get too hot in my jacket if I'm wearing a jacket that day. We've got all this space. But you know what? Rua, the kids, Jan, myself could scoot over. This is me scooting. All right? We could scoot over and make room for about four or five more people. It would be tight, but we could make room for four or five more people on our pew. And then if you'll look at these other pews that are empty, and you look at the other pews where you sit, is there room for more people? You might have to touch someone, okay? But we could very easily get another 200, 250 people in this room if we really worked at it. And in the foyer, standing up, open these doors up and turn these speakers up a little bit and make it even louder so people could sit outside. Do you see the potential? Do you see the 70,000 people? Do you see the 70,000 people who are here in this community? There's potential here. It's not too late to double the attendance for next Sunday. Every one of you in your bulletin had a couple of postcards. Send them to someone. Address them before you leave today. Address them this afternoon. Bring them back tonight and send them to someone. Give them to your neighbor. Say, hey, we're doing this thing. I want you to know a few things. Maybe we'll get to it in a second. Let me get to the next slide. What can you do? Back to Bible school is next Sunday. What am I supposed to do? Well, six things. And again, for our members here, we expect you to do one or all of these six things. Number one, be here. Be here. Did you hear me? Be here. There's benefit to just showing up. You ask any employer, you ask them, and they say, I appreciate someone who shows up and tries. Even if they don't have the skill, even if they don't know what they're doing, if they show up consistently, that's a mark above a lot of people in this world that don't show up. Be here. It says over in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, to consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. And it says, don't neglect the meeting together as is the habit of some, but encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Do you see the linking there? There is a link between being present and encouragement. Have you ever thought about before that your lack of being here, that you not being here discourages someone? Oh, well, I was looking for my brother Harold and I didn't see him. I was looking for my brother Dan and I didn't see him. They've not showed up in a month, 6 weeks, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months. I wonder where they are. I sure would love to see them. And I'm discouraged because this brother who I had confidence in isn't here. If all of us are here next Sunday, that would make a big difference. Keep reading or keep thinking with me. Number two, stay after for a little while. Some of you don't like to, and that's okay. Typically, you don't have to. I confess that I don't always stay for the fellowship meals either. Whenever you've got a couple of crying babies and it's nap time and this and that going on, I get it. I do understand. And I like the food that I eat at home. It's, I know exactly what's in it. I know that it doesn't have any, you vegans out there, it doesn't have any bacon grease in it. And for those of you who like bacon grease, it doesn't have, vegetable bouillon in it. You know what's in your food, you see? And that's an amazing thing. I can go to my refrigerator and right there it is. I can get off out of my suit and put on my PJs on Sunday afternoon and eat and then just fall asleep. You know, it's a wonderful thing. And I understand that. I get it. But next week, stay after. Stay after to encourage people. It's a special day. We need everyone to be friendly. Greet guests, number three. Research shows, and John shared some of this the past few weeks, research shows that the first few minutes and the last few minutes of our meeting together makes the biggest difference to guests. It makes a big difference. Remember the two-minute rule that John talked about? I love some of you very much. No, I love all of you very much. I like some of you very much. And, some of you, our personalities might not just, mesh very well. Is that okay? That's okay, that's okay. It's all right for me to enjoy the company of others. I chose one woman in all the world to spend the rest of my life with. I enjoy her company more than any other woman in the whole world, you see? So it's okay for me to say I enjoy one person's presence or two or three people's presence more than others. That's okay. But what do you do when you're comfortable? You want to go over and talk to the person that you like the most, that's most like you. But the two-minute rule says don't do that. Two-minute rule says go talk to somebody that you don't ordinarily talk to or somebody you don't know. If you don't know someone, go talk to them. And I'm almost positive there's some members here who don't know other members here. You take some time and do that. That's the two-minute rule. Greet them. Sit next to someone you don't know while you eat your food afterward. Number four, bring food if you'd like. There are sign-up sheets out there. There's other things you can do besides bring food. We usually don't have a problem with this, but take a few moments to do that. Sign up to help. Number five, invite. And this is where I want to spend just a couple more minutes, and then I'll give you the lesson. Personal invitations to church are the most effective growth mechanism. Here's what growth expert Wynn Arms said. She said that friendship is the reason people visit the church the most. Friendship. We've asked more than 50,000 people over the last 10 years why they came to church, and between 75 and 90% of respondents say, I began attending because someone invited me. Someone invited me. Invite someone. The book, The Inviting Church, has these stats for how visitors come to church. 2% by advertisement, 6% by the preacher's invitation, 6% by organized evangelical campaign, 86% by friends or relatives. Do you hear that? I want you to see the power that God has given you. Each and every one of us has a sphere of influence. Invite the people who you love. You know what? They may say no. What does it hurt you if they say no? They may say yes. For those of you who are introverts, you might not like doing that. Take a moment to use the postcard. That's a very passive way to do it. Fill out a postcard to do it. That's still an invitation from a friend. Put your name on it. Why aren't we inviting people? Lifeway Research did a study and asked how many times they have personally, quote, invited an unchurched person to attend a church service or some other program at your church. 48% in the last 6 months, I believe this is. In the last 6 months, 48% of people said they didn't do it at all. In the last 6 months, I invited zero people to church, is what 48% of people said. 33% say they've personally invited someone one or two times. 19% say they've done so on three more occasions in the last 6 months. Why are we inviting people? If we did, if every one of us did, then it would make a difference. Do one a month if you want to. Can you do that? You don't have to share with them the gospel. You don't have to say this is what you have to do to be saved. You don't have to say you're going to hell if you don't go to church with me. You instead say, hey, we've got some great things going on at the body that I worship with. Why don't you come and see? Why don't you come and see? Finally, pray. Pray for your potential guests. Pray for opportunity to arise to invite them to church. Pray for awareness of the need. Pray for the courage to invite them to church. Pray for favor that they would accept the invitation. Pray that they would follow through and come. Pray that your church would welcome them. Pray that the message and worship would be awe-inspiring. Pray that they would hear the message and grow one step closer to God. That same Lifeway study that we quoted a moment ago that said only 48% of people or 48% of people hadn't invited anybody any times in the last 6 months says this. 21% of churchgoers say that outside of church worship services, they pray every day for people who know that they know who are not professing Christians. That's only one out of five. If this church is average, that means one out of every five of you. One, two, three, four, five, one of you. One, two, three, four, five, one of you. One, two, three, four, five, one of you prays for people every day that aren't members of the church, that aren't Christians, that aren't people in the Lord's body. One of you out of five does that. 26% say they pray a few times a week. 20% say they rarely or never pray for the spiritual status of others. Believe in prayer, church. Pray for this community. Pray for our big day. I expect and I want and I'm begging you, I'm asking you to do one, at least one of these six things for next Sunday. Preferably two or three or four or five or all six of them. Pray, invite, bring food, stay after, greet guests, invite. Did you hear that? If you do those things, this day can be amazing. I didn't spend months this time. I didn't spend 5 minutes every week telling you about this big day that was coming up. I didn't do it this time. I spent one Sunday telling you about our values. That we value worship, we value Bible study, and we value evangelism here. And if you understand that, if you are someone like that, if you are a Christian like these Christians that are in the New Testament that values worship and Bible study and inviting and bringing people to worship, if you're someone like that, maybe you should do that as well. Maybe you will. That's what a Christian does. But a non-Christian is someone who listens and responds and obeys, and then becomes saved. Let's pray. Father God, we bow before your throne again this morning, pleading with you to bless the hearers this morning. We pray that the Word of God has sank deep into their hearts, that they've seen the necessity that you rely on every one of us to grow your kingdom, to grow the church. And Father, we pray that we'll be individuals who do the work, that we won't be lazy, that we won't be sluggards, that we'll be individuals who this week, this morning, will make a change, that we'll do something that will bring other people, and at the very bare minimum, Father, and something that's got so much power that we'll pray and we'll be here and we'll stay for a few minutes after, but maybe, Father, the individuals here can get out of their comfort zone, and they can invite someone, and they can tell their friends and neighbors that there's something incredible going on here, and that they can be a part of it as well. And that's what we pray for next week, that we'll have 250, 300, 400 people here. Father, we know with you all things are possible, and we know that our biggest dreams are nothing for you to accomplish. And we pray for this body, and for John, and for our elders, and for our deacons, and for our Bible school teachers, and our education program, that every one of us here will do our part to make this congregation something that's very pleasing in your sight, that you can say to each and every one of us, when this life is over, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And Father, those who aren't Christians, we pray they will become one, even today, and it's in Jesus' name, amen. If you're subject to the invitation, maybe now is the time to come, as together we stand, and as we sing.